Hi. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Founding Member Club. This is the first call that we're doing in a series of calls, and we're going to be delivering fresh, advanced, and interactive content. And it's the only place you can actually interact with me unless you're live in a seminar. So every founding member will get three of these calls a month. One will be with me, and the other two will be with my executive coaches. And they are on the line here as well, and I'm going to introduce you to them in just a moment. As well as that, you have the ability to get into two founding member club events a year, live events. A lot of people have been asking me where these things are going to be, and I'm going to reveal the next event and where it's going to be coming up during this call, so you should see that here in a little bit. And if you have any questions whatsoever during this call, I really suggest, highly suggest, that you do what's called raising your hand. It's a little bit strange, but you can do it from your phone. Basically, if you have a question, you can press *2 and you can raise your hand, and I'll see it on here and I can actually unmute you and we can chat for a bit. We are going to be doing a lot of hot seat kind of conversations, and I do want to hear any kind of issues that you may have had or anything you've done that's worked. If you want any kind of critique, I can help you out with that. If you have any itching, serious question that you should probably see a doctor about, you can ask me that. And I will answer, even though I'm not a physician. And I'm going to walk you through whatever I can to get you to the next level. Basically, I personally think you should absolutely take advantage of this because, especially with the Q&A section, because one-on-one coaching with me is around $10,000 a person. So if you want to get lots of value from this call, I suggest you write your questions down or you raise your hand and I'll unmute you directly and we'll go ahead and interact. A lot of my webinars and things like that I've put in, presented in the past, I would only answer certain questions because I didn't have time. On this one, I'm going to be answering as many as is humanly possible. So if you raise your hand, it's a very good possibility I'm going to get to you. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce a couple of my coaches here. First, Brad is sitting next to me. You can go ahead and say, hey, Brad here.
Hey, what's up, guys?
So Brad is just moved to L.A., to work with me full-time here and to be a coach and from Michigan, where it's cold. not right now, though. And another coach, another executive coach here is Joe. Joe, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Cool. Awesome. Joe is in from England at the moment, so he doesn't have the accent to go with it, unfortunately. But he could, he can make it happen, though, Joe, I think.
Working on it, yeah.
All right. So, essentially, we're going to be here to answer any questions that you have. Joe and Brad are going to be doing the follow-up calls coming up. I'll be interacting with them a lot. We'll be talking about topics. And the topic we're going to be going over today is going to be mostly inner game-based and sort of belief system-based. Now, I've written curriculum, the curriculums for several different companies that teach what I'm going to teach you now. And the reason why I write it is because I'm pretty good at understanding systems and creating systems on how to attract, build a rapport or a deep connection with and seduce women, as well as keep your relationships together for a long extended period of time and not lose the attraction, sort of watch it slip away. So I've done a lot of work around this in this space. I think I'm pretty well respected in this space. People could probably see otherwise, but I get a lot of respect at least for what I know. And I want to impart that wisdom onto you during this first call here. Now, the next call that we're going to be doing, just to get that out of the way, the next call is going to be on, that will be a week from today. So that will be on the 13th? No, sorry. It's a week and a day from today. So on the 14th, next Thursday, the 14th of this month, which is July, of course, you'll see your first follow-up call will be then, and then your second follow-up call is going to be on the 28th of this month of July. I will send you these details so you don't have to write that down, but if you do have a calendar in front of you, you definitely want to go ahead and put that information in your calendar so you can catch that. It's going to be the same time, and I'll send that the call-in details and everything to you before so you can get that information. And all the stuff that you learned today, we're going to have you put into action, and you're going to be basically getting follow-up calls with this information over the next 2-3 weeks. And then we'll start another call next month, and we'll do the same thing again. There'll be follow-up calls. You'll get lots of individualized coaching and all of your questions answered by professionals, which is exactly what you came here for. So, all right, so let me go ahead and dive right into what we're going to be talking about today and give you sort of an overview. Open up my curriculum here. Do some clicking on the computer. So today, like I said, we're going to be going over some things that are mindset-based, some things that are, so to speak, inner game, quote-unquote. I'm doing air bunny rabbit quotations marks right now. So the things I'm going to be going over will have a direct and immediate effect on your confidence with women. And it's not a gimmick. It's not a technique. It's not like something you're using to trick women into liking you or, you know, whatever it is, even though, you know, those are exciting sometimes. But for now, though, we're going to be going over what I believe is sort of core and backbone of what it means to be a truly attractive man. I know a lot of guys who are in this industry and try to teach this for a living. Most of them don't know what they're talking about. And I'd say most, and I'd say probably about 90% are not any better than any of their students are. So what I'd like to say, what I'd like to call it first is what is missing in these other coaches that I've seen that is really keeping them from getting very, very good. Some of them are okay, but a lot of them could be a whole lot better, and there's something sort of stopping them and keeping them back. And that thing that's stopping them and keeping them back is mindset. So what they start doing is they start to get into this because they want to prove to themselves that they're actually an attractive guy. But the problem is they never actually believe that they're an attractive guy. And so they move forward with these different, starting to meet women, starting to use these techniques. And they get to the point where they're kind of okay with women. And then, you know, they start teaching and guys look up to them. And so they start living these fake lives where they're saying they're good with women. And they're just not. I mean, I know these guys. They're not very good with women. There's lots of guys that are doing this. Probably a lot of guys that you've heard of and or know and maybe even follow. Some of them lie. There's a handful of really amazing, high-integrity people. And, of course, I'm friends with almost all of them. But the majority of people who are in this industry can't get out of their own way, so to speak. And I want to give you what they never got the opportunity to get. And that is that mindset of an attractive man. So the first thing that I want to go over today, and I'm going to go over a lot of things, this call is going to be about an hour long total. If we end a little bit early, I'll take lots of questions until we run out of time. If we end a little bit late, then I'm sorry about that, but it'll be an awesome call, so whatever. But ultimately, though, I want to go over the first sort of concept here, and that is the connection between your subconscious or unconscious mind and your conscious mind. Now, this is very, very important. I was in New York City, and I lived there for a while, and I was coaching out of New York. And I had an opportunity to learn from a first-generation Dale Carnegie instructor. He's like 80 million years old. and he's just got these superpowers. Like, he can talk to people, and he knows exactly what to say to get them to be on his side. He doesn't make a whole lot of money, just does coaching for a living, but yet all of his friends are like multimillionaires and billionaires. He was actually coaching for a billionaire friend of mine. I don't know how I met a billionaire, but I did. And, this billionaire guy looked up to him a lot and brought him in, and he was helping him build his business and everything too, and build his team up. Well, he taught me the concept I'm going to teach you now. And it's been sort of one of the concepts that has been a game changer for me, and what separates sort of what I teach in a lot of ways is understanding this direct connection between your subconscious, or some people could say your unconscious mind, and your conscious mind. So the way that he described it, his name is Howard Tangler, and the way he described it is that your conscious mind is like the programmer for your subconscious or unconscious mind. I'm sure we have at least one programmer in here. I know Joe's a programmer, so he understands this pretty well. But essentially, your conscious mind, what you experience in the world around you, programs your subconscious mind to believe that things are true. Now, this is where your beliefs come in. Now, this may not seem directly related to meeting women immediately, but if you think about it, if you believe that you're not an attractive guy, or if you believe that you're pretty attractive, or if you believe that only certain kinds of women like you, these are all things that your conscious mind is programmed into your subconscious mind. And I'm going to teach you how to reprogram that now so that you can put whatever you want to put in there, which is a lot more helpful. But first, we need to understand this connection, like I said. And you need to understand that what you say and what you think actually changes what you believe can or can't happen. And also what you believe in general is true. It changes what's called your reality. And so if you have a reality, and in your reality you see that women like you whenever you're not at a bar, but they don't like you when you're at a bar. Well, here's what happens when you first get that concept in. Maybe it's based on some kind of reality. Maybe you see something that shows you that that's the case. Well, after that, if you believe that's the case, then you start projecting this to people, and they pick up on it. Women are very, very, very good at reading body language, and they do it in an sort of innate way, in a way that we can't understand as men. They're much better at reading body language than we are. And so what we do is we go out and we continue to speak to women, but now we're speaking from a place of where we believe that we're actually going to be shot down and rejected. And so what happens is we start to see rejection all the time, and it gets worse and worse, and then we just decide that it's time for us to never go to a bar again. We don't do it ever again. And that's fine, because, you know, bars aren't the be-all, end-all. And, you know, meeting women in a bar at nighttime in a high-impact environment isn't the way for every guy to meet women. You know, there's ways to meet women during the daytime, you know, not just daytime, but at nighttime, but not at a bar. Maybe, like, out at a lounge or a friend's house or at a party, and there's, you know, the grocery store. There's tons of different ways to meet women, and guys tend to think that the only way to do it or the only real way to do it is to go out to a bar. So it's okay if you don't want to do that already, and that's already your mindset, but what I'd like to do is give you the tools to be able to walk into a bar if you want to and sort of take it over. Joe, I know that you're not wired for going to a bar naturally, because you're a judger, I know that, and you've gotten really, really good at going out to bars and meeting and attracting beautiful women. I just wanted to know if you could speak to that for a minute and sort of talk about your experience and how it was, you know, some of your struggles moving forward and learning this stuff and how you sort of overcame those.
Yeah, I definitely agree. That's spot on. I think my natural strengths were in other areas, and that's just it. They were my natural strengths, and it really came back to a lot of this kind of programming yourself to understand that you can develop other strengths, really. So, excuse me. I think originally that was definitely my biggest limitation in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So it really came back to this, started with this, and this was kind of what made everything whole, I think, at that point.
Yeah. Was there any at any point ever whenever you were going out that you thought that you weren't going to get any better at this?
Maybe years ago. Mm-hmm. Not that comes. I don't remember a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been peaks and valleys. I didn't make snap judgments and say that I'm not going to get any better at this. I might have thought I plateaued in certain areas,
mm-hmm.
and then as I realized that some of my beliefs weren't conducive to what my goals actually were, and reshaped those, it kind of continued to plow forward, really.
Right. And I had since I met you for the first time, like, I have an ability to be able to see who's going to be good at this if they keep with it, and who, like, you know, really good in the area of where they can actually teach it to other guys. And I saw that in you, and I saw that in Brad, which is why I brought you guys on board with me in the first place. And it is a struggle. I mean, for me, in the very beginning, not even in the very beginning, in the middle, you know, in the middle of studying, not like just in the early years, but even when I started to get better, it was increasingly important to me that I understand how to control these belief systems and sort of blow the lid off my reality, so to speak, so that I could control what I believe is possible. So your conscious mind will program your subconscious mind. So this is what that means is essentially if you say something out loud or if you see something and you make a snap judgment on that, whatever you see, whatever it is that your experience is showing you, then it will become your reality. You will see that always. And Joe, you were kind of explaining for a second that you never made snap judgments, and that's why you progressed, because you sort of decided that stuff can happen, but it isn't necessarily who you are. Like, you didn't identify with it. And that, I think, is what sort of is at the core, and where most people screw up is that they start to identify and say, I am blank. Anytime you say, I am blank, and that blank is there, and you put a word in there, you become whatever your perception of that thing is. And there have been a lot of studies on this all over the place, college studies, that have been done for dissertations, also business studies, sports studies for limitations. And I had the opportunity to coach an Olympic triathlete once, and I sort of sat him down and I asked him, the first thing I asked him was what happens to him when he's running? You know, when he's like, he was doing well, he wins up into the last like 10% of the race, then he falls behind to maybe like halfway in the pack. And he said he didn't know. He's just running, and then he loses steam, and he can't keep going. And then I said, okay, I have a question for you. What's losing to you? And he said, well, losing is like getting behind the middle of the pack. I said, okay, well, what's winning? He's like, winning is first place. I was like, well, here's your problem. Your problem is that you're trying not to lose, not trying to win, right? So he was trying not to lose, and so he was like, oh, I can fall back to the middle of the pack, and I can be there, and I can exist, and I won't lose. So it's not a big deal. But once I switched it around and said, look, you know what, here's how you're going to hack your brain here. And, you know, we had to work on this, and I wouldn't say this to everybody, but he was ready for this. I said, all right, I want you to take a piece of paper. I want you to write first place equals winning. Second place equals losing. So he was like, okay, well, I don't want to do that. He didn't want to pressure himself. He didn't want to be too hard on himself. And we're sort of built to not want to be too hard on ourselves. But I was like, look, just do it. And you know that the truth is if you finish, you know, above the half of the pack, then you're doing well. So just put down that second place is losing and look at it every day. And just get that fighting spirit and see if it helps. And he did it. In his next race, he got third place. And then after that, he's been in the top five triathletes in the world. And I'm not going to say that I did all that. It's obviously a lot of training to be a triathlete in the first place. And most of that was from his training. But as soon as he reframed it, he allowed himself to run faster. He allowed himself to finish the race. And that's sort of what we do. We get in our own way. We see a hot girl at a bar, and we go, she's hot, she's a 10. And then somewhere in our heads we're going, she wouldn't like me, or she's not my type, or I'm not good enough for her. Whatever it is we have, these little stupid things we say to ourselves, we don't give ourselves the opportunity to maybe be wrong about that. And so what happens is we don't walk up to her, or worse, we do walk up to her expecting to get rejected. And there's one thing that's absolutely true and I think you should write this down if you do have notes open, if you're in front of a piece of paper now, or if you have a Word document open on your computer or something, write this down. You get what you expect, not what you deserve. This is very, very important. You get what you expect, not what you deserve. Not only is this important in the rest of your life and business and everything else, but very important when it comes to meeting and attracting women. You get what you expect, not what you deserve. This is so crucial. And the reason why I say it's so crucial is because if you shift this one thing about yourself, you will open up all those hot women in the bar, in the club, you know, at Starbucks, walking down the street, whatever. All the hot women that you really wanted to approach and attract, you'll be able to get the same amount of success with them as you do with any other unattractive woman you've ever been with. If you ever experienced the whole, the women that I'm attracted to don't like me, but the ones that I don't like are all over me kind of thing. If you have experienced that, the reason why that's happening is because you're changing what you're doing to these other women. When you walk up to a hot woman, you're changing your behavior and you don't even know you're doing it. And that's a massive problem. So what you have to do, and this is probably one of the most important things that I have ever taught, the single most important concept as far as inner game and confidence changing goes and mindset goes, is that you have to do what's called putting your challenges in the past. So this is crucial. Do you remember going over this ever? I'm not sure if I ever went over this with you, Brad. Just putting challenges in the past?
Yeah.
Okay. And Joe, I'm not sure. I think I went over this with you as well in the first course you took years ago. But essentially, what you have to do is not what you have to do. Let me explain it first, and then we'll go into what it means and how to apply it. The putting your challenges in the past essentially makes good use of your programmer that programs your subconscious mind. So what we do that hinders us more than probably anything is we identify ourselves with certain mistakes we've made, and we say that we made them now. So for example, I might say, if I'm not thinking about it, I might go, oh, you know, I really suck at approaching beautiful women, right? So that may be true to you, and maybe something that you've believed forever. And it's really difficult to let that go. I like the idea of a lot of things on paper. But some things don't work. Like, for example, the sort of secret concept, the affirmation concept that, you know, you just say what you want to the universe and it gives it to you. I'm not going to knock it really, but I don't really see that being the case. I mean, I just don't, I'm looking at facts here. Now, I know that it helps a lot, obviously, but I don't think that you just say what you want and the universe gives it to you. I think you go out and you make it happen. And you say what you want and then you go get it. And you can't be afraid to screw it all up. Now, I don't believe that the secret is really all about, you know, saying, say what you want to the universe and sitting there, but I do believe that there's a magic power in the ability to say what you want and also say an affirmation or something in a way in which it allows you to accept that it's even possible in the first place. So if you've ever been, actually it'd be great if any of you guys have ever, and again, if you want to raise your hand on this, press star 2. If you've ever been at a bar and you've walked up to a woman before that you're like got the guts up to walk up to her because she's so hot, and you walk up and she just didn't give you the time of day, then press star 2 and raise your hand. I just want to see how many guys have done that before. I know I've done it like 1,000 times. It's happened to me a lot. If you're on this call now and you have, just press star 2 and I'll be able to see. So it looks like we've got the majority of people so far already hitting star 2. So essentially what's going on here whenever you are sort of walking up to this girl in the first place is you are saying to yourself before you go up, that girl's hot. It would be amazing if I was good enough to attract her. It would be amazing. But at the same time, you get pumped up, you know, you get really excited, you get ready to go, and then, you walk up there and you're super pumped about this. You're really motivated. You go up and then you're scared shitless, of course, which is normal. It's totally normal. And you walk up, and what comes out of your mouth? Pretty much nothing. You know, nothing of intellect comes out of your mouth. Nothing that makes any kind of serious sense. And I've had this happen to me countless times, especially in the very beginning of my study. And the reason why is understand that it was happening. The attraction was happening before I walked up in the first place. And that's really what I want to get to now. So one of the most powerful things that I've ever taught to, like a single concept I've ever taught, is the idea of putting your challenges in the past. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to take this opportunity now to go over some things that you suck at and sort of help you reframe those. So I'm going to lower everyone's hands here. There we go. And what I'd like to do is for the next, you know, couple minutes here, if anybody has any anything that they're thinking about themselves, like I'm not good at meeting women at night, I'm not good at attracting blonde women, I'm not good at attracting brunettes, I'm not good at attracting women taller than me, or any excuse you have that you'd like to sort of air out as dirty laundry right now, I'd be totally cool with talking to you about it right now. And, you know, as long as you don't mind your brothers here hanging out and learning from what I teach you and from what you can teach them as well, go ahead and hit star 2 again and raise your hand, and I will go ahead and help you out with that. So I'm going to go ahead and take the first one now. Brett, I'm going to unmute you. Can you hear me okay, Brett?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Cool. All right. So Brett, I'm happy you're on the call because you're a good friend of mine, and we've been, you know, working on lots of stuff together for a while, and I feel that there was a while that I saw you kind of hit a wall, and then and I sort of ran out of time and had to go run around like a chicken with my head cut off here for a while, so sorry about that. But I would love to hear what are some of your sort of limiting beliefs around attracting women.
I've always had a problem approaching women.
Okay, and what kind of capacity? Like, if you had to be a little bit more specific about it, what would you say?
I don't know how more specific I can be. I freeze up, you know? I mean, human interaction I do very well, but just cold approaching to a woman, just, I don't know if it frightens me or what it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this I have a couple of questions about this, because this is a obviously very common frustration of guys. But there is a specific sort of pattern that I've seen in the past, and I'd like to see, if you don't mind, Brett, I'd like to sort of dive a little bit deeper with this. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to ask you to make some distinctions. Is it all women, or is it only certain kinds of women?
I guess I'm going to have to go always. It just sometimes I'm in a great mood and I just go for it, but 99% of the time I just look and it just frees up.
Okay. So I'm going to make a
decision.
What was that?
I'm going to have to stick with all women.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to make a distinction here. It's going to help you out a little bit. First, let's just, for the record, say that you have a hard time, that what you said was you have a hard time approaching all women. Right? So that's on the record. All right. So, this is very, very important. So what if it was an old lady? Would you have a hard time approaching an old lady, Brett?
No.
Okay. So I'm not trying to be patronizing, but let's just continue. So not all women, except old ladies so far, right?
Right.
Okay, cool. So what about really ugly, like absolutely minging, terrible looking women? What about them?
I guess I'm going to have to say no.
Right. That makes sense. Because there's nothing you're going to get, obviously, so you walk up. So except old women and ugly women. Also, let's say relatives. What about relatives that are women?
I have no problem talking to them.
Okay, so anybody who's not related to you, who's not old or not completely ugly, you have a problem walking up to and approaching. So let's just sort of see what's common here. You know, what is it that makes your approach anxiety go away around, women that are old, women that are related to you, and women that are really, really ugly? What's the common theme here among these women?
It's a common thing, I guess. I'm comfortable.
You're comfortable, right? But they also have nothing to give you. Well, you're not looking for anything from these girls, are you? I mean, maybe you are. I don't know. I'm not sure if you're into grannies or not, but it could be. But you're probably not expecting to get anything from these girls, you know?
Right.
And so that's why your approach anxiety is gone around that. Now, that's very, very important. That means that your approach anxiety is directly related to you wanting something from the women that you're walking up to. You want them to like you. You want them to be attracted to you. You have a desired outcome. And because you have a desired outcome, you're immediately outcome dependent, meaning that you need this to go a certain way, and if it doesn't go a certain way, you're going to beat yourself up over it. Now, the irony behind this is that not having an outcome dependency, being sort of outcome independent, where you don't care what happens, allows you to attract women. So the irony is that the only women you can attract right now, comfortably, are relatives, old ladies, and minging women, you know? And that's the problem. The problem is that what you're doing is you're changing your behavior. Now, here's what I'd like to do, just for fuck's sake, I guess, in the beginning here. Why don't we try sort of reframing what you said so that you can allow yourself to sort of begin to get over that. This is the first step that most people take toward overcoming something like this. So the first thing I would ask you to do is I'd ask you to, if you're to be completely honest, you don't really know if you are, if you have a hard time approaching women right now because you're not doing it right now, are you? I mean, I don't think you are. If you're doing it on the phone, you're a superstar, but you're not doing it at the moment, are you, Brett?
Okay, you're cutting in and out. I didn't understand that.
Okay. So essentially I'm asking, are you approaching women right now while you're on the phone?
No.
Okay. So that would lead me to believe that you don't know if that's actually true for right now. The truth is that you used to have a problem and a problem approaching what you thought were attractive women, right? Now, you may feel like you still have that problem. It may be something that you're like, oh, but I still have it or whatever in your head. But let's, for a moment, let's kind of put that thought aside and let's just focus on the past, putting this one concept in the past. Now, if you could for a second, Brett, and I know this is kind of silly, but if you could sort of humor me here and just tell me, like, repeat after me, basically, and just say, I used to have a hard time attracting beautiful women.
In the past, I used to have a hard time attracting women.
Okay. So, and it was, not actually, it was more of approaching women is what it was, wasn't it? So in the past, you used to have a hard time approaching women.
In the past, I used to have a hard time approaching women.
Okay, so this is crucial, and extremely important. And I know that maybe if you're listening to this call right now and you haven't tried this, I wouldn't doubt, and I wouldn't be surprised if you're a little bit skeptical about this. But try to write down 5 things that you believe are holding you back. Write them down. You don't have to do them all right now, but you can do it as soon as this call's over. Write down 5 things that are holding you back. And I want to go through, and I want to, one at a time, get rid of these things, essentially, and make it so that these things that you thought were holding you back are now in the past tense for you. Now, what this does, Brett, and to everyone else who's on the call right now, is it allows you for a moment, even if just for a brief moment, the possibility of getting over this. Now, if you always say, I have a hard time approaching women, then what happens is your brain hears that, and it confirms that that belief is true. So then when you try to approach a woman, it throws up all these emotional things telling you you shouldn't be doing this, like approach anxiety, like sweaty palms, like absolute fear like someone's about to attack you and kill you fear, you know. All of these different responses, you know, lightheadedness, loss of what to say, I mean, you have no idea what to say. These are all concepts that are based on a belief system, and whenever you step outside of that belief, your body tries to stop you from doing it. And the reason why is because it's a survival mechanism. If you believe that someone who has a gun is dangerous, that's a belief system, then when someone pulls up a gun in front of you, your body reacts before you will. You'll automatically get nervous. Because you'll see things are at a level at which you could lose something. These are at risk. And so you'll automatically react in a way that physically, your body physically starts to change. You start to feel that anxiety and everything like that. Now, Brett, the most powerful thing you could think in general, and I would highly suggest this. This is my number one fix for approach anxiety. If any guys on this call have ever had a hard time approaching women that you didn't know, especially attractive women, then this is the thing that is the number one cure for it. And I've been through this a lot, and I have taught this a lot, and I've seen it work, and I've had it work for me as well. You have to approach everyone, not just attractive women that you think are out of your league or women that you'd like to be with that you think are within your league. You have to approach everybody that you're curious about. And the reason why is because if you tell yourself and believe that that you approach women that are, just because you're curious about them, that are interesting, regardless of whether or not they're attractive, and you do that in your real life, meaning that if you see an old woman and she's walking down the street and she's got a funny looking hat on, you might go, that's a funny looking hat. Where'd you get that hat? You know, and just start talking to her. Now what this will do is it'll immediately reframe your belief in why you're approaching women in the first place. So instead of only walking up and talking to women that you're attracted to, which when you do that, your body goes, holy shit, there's a lot to lose here. Don't screw this up, you know, or you don't normally do this and you've never been successful. Maybe this is the one time it's going to be different. And all of a sudden you need that interaction. You need it to go well. And which of course screws everything up immediately because neediness kills attraction. So instead of going through that, your body will have a response of like, oh, it'll have this response instead of, oh my God, what are you doing? This is not normal. You're going to screw this up. Then I have a response of, oh, he's talking to another person, just like he talked to that old lady earlier. And this is when approach anxiety sort of gets defeated and it disappears. It's really difficult to try to get rid of approach anxiety without going through this one phase, this one step. And that sort of reframing step is one of the most important stages. Now, if you had, Brett, if you just resolve to and sort of make a decision to from now on put that statement alone in the past, always. Now, in our coaching calls following up here, Brad and Joe are going to make sure that you do this, you know, that when they talk to you, that if you say that something was bad, that you're bad at, they'll say, you mean in the past, and you'll have to reframe that for yourself. So we'll help you reframe this, because it takes a lot of teamwork and a lot of efforts from your friends to help you get, you know, get past your own barriers. And that's sort of what the Founding Members Club is all about. So we're here to help you do that. But if you could, Brett, just make a resolve, make a promise to yourself and to us that you're going to, that starting right now, you're putting that statement, at the very least, that statement in the past. Can you do that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, cool. And that's, I had taught this concept to a client of mine. It was a high-end client in New York. And I met up with him, and I just listened to him talk for a while, and I just heard, I don't know, maybe 20 things that were just horrible that he said about himself, like just terrible things. And I was like, okay, look, I'm just going to teach you one concept today, and I'm going to let you go, and I want you to tell me how it worked tomorrow. And he goes, he's expecting me to teach him something like, you know, look into her left eye, you know, something really tiny that he could do. But what I said was, I want you to say everything you just said, but I want you to put it all in the past, and I want you to continue to do that until tomorrow when I talk to you again. And he goes, okay, they thought it was kind of weird, but he said, all right, whatever, you know, you're the expert. So I told him, you know, and I listened to him say everything that he just said to me and put it all in the past. And the next day he called me up, and he was just so excited. He's like peeing his pants on the phone, like just couldn't even talk. I was like, oh, slow down, what happened? And he's like, well, look, I started saying that, and for the first time ever, I walked up to a woman. I know she's way out of my league. I was just like, let me just try it out. And I walked up, and I didn't even do anything different. In his mind, he didn't, at least, do anything different. But everything worked this time. You know, it was as if everything that he was trying before was magically breaking, and now it was magically working again, you know. And it's sort of beyond your conscious ability to be able to understand why this works. But if you can do this, you will see amazing results from this, just this one concept alone. And you will be able to understand confidence and actually experience confidence when you walk up to women a lot more. And I have a lot of other things to go over here, too, today. But that's one of the major concepts I wanted to get into. Thanks, Brett, for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and go to the next caller that was up here, and then I'm going to move on. I'm not sure your name here, so I'm going to just unmute you and ask you. Are you there? Looks like you're in El Monte, California. Anybody there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can hear me? Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your name?
I can hear you. Hello?
What's your name? You're cutting in and out here quite a bit. I'll give you one more chance here, and then I might have to cut it out. What's your name here?
Albert.
Albert. Hey, all right, I got it. Albert, good. I'm not sure if there's an issue with our link or connection or whatnot, but you can go ahead. Oh, okay. Well, why don't we do this? If it does cut out, guys, if you do want to ask a question and you don't want to get on the line and talk, you can also go to facebook.com/thedaoofbadass. And you can go right on there and ask your question straight on there. I'll be looking at it during this, looking at the wall on that page during this call, so I can answer your questions on there too. So I just wanted to reach that out. So Albert, you said you had a couple of sort of negative things you were saying about yourself, and I wanted to hear what they were so I could sort of help you break those down and maybe understand them a little better. Is that okay?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, cool. So what would you say is your biggest sort of wall that you're hitting with women?
Well, it's like, I'm in college, and, you know, I quit a frat, so I'm no longer a frat, and it seems like at my school, you know, it seems like women tend to only go for the good-looking ones, and the cool ones tend to go for the frat boys and the lax bros, which, you know, being in a frat, I feel like I'm having a disadvantage. And on top of that, I'm Asian, which, you know, I've noticed that, you know, even though I'm a cool guy, lot going. It sometimes feel like that. Mm-hmm. Two.
You're cutting out here a little bit in El Monte. Sorry, what was the last thing you said, Albert?
Well, basically, I was to say that I know I'm a cool guy. You know, I'm not in the frat. It seems like it's also, on top of that being Asian, it seems like holding me back from getting some of the hottest girls
mm-hmm.
at school.
Okay.
know what I mean?
All right, so you have two major beliefs. One is that the attraction, so you're, okay, so right in the middle of everything, Albert, you're kind of in the middle of a shitstorm right now. That's what college is, really. I mean, it's like, it's the most confusing shit in the universe besides middle school and high school, you know? And the reason why is because you're in sort of a micro environment, a micro community. It's hard to look outside of the college area and see, you know, potential women and things like that as well. And it's really easy to look around and compare yourself to all the guys that you're with. And you said you're not in a frat, or you are in a frat house?
I'm not.
You're not. Okay. So I never was either. And I think that's probably one of my better qualities is that I wasn't. Nothing, no offense to anybody who's in a frat here, obviously. But yeah, so I never was in a frat house. And so the belief currently that you have that's sort of holding you back is that A, that being Asian is actually hurting your chances with women. And then B, not being in a frat or not being like the cool guy or whatever is sort of hurting your chances with women. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
Right. Okay. So here's sort of the first question I have to ask you. Has any Asian man ever been successful with women?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Of course. Right. And there, and actually, I know a lot of amazing guys who are amazing with women who are Asian. So I know that first off, that's not true 100% of the time. So maybe there's something else. Maybe you mean instead of just being Asian, it hurts your chances. Maybe that you mean that, in your case, maybe it seems that, it seems to be hurting your chances, but it's not, it doesn't hurt every Asian man's chances. I mean, I would guess because I've seen lots of guys. For example, I don't normally name drop on this stuff, but does anyone here, I don't know if you do or not, but have you ever heard of a guy named DJ Fuji before?
Wait, say it again?
Have you ever heard of a man named DJ Fuji?
No, I have not.
Okay, so he's a friend of mine, and he's another coach as well, and he's not really a DJ, by the way. I don't know why. I think his first name is DJ. But he is probably one of the most successful guys I've ever met with women. Now, he's not, like, over-the-top loud. He's not a dancing monkey. Like, he doesn't do tricks or anything like that. But he is probably one of the coolest guys I've known and gets women that, you know, that I would be like, I'm like, damn, dude. Any guy who gets a woman like that is amazing. You know, and he is fantastic. I think a lot of his students look at him and realize for the first time that, you know, that it doesn't matter. For some reason, women don't care about that with DJ Fuji. You know, they don't care that he's Asian. You know, a lot of his students are Asian as well. And women just don't care. They seem to look past it. Now, what does he have that you don't have? And I'll tell you what that is. First off, he uses the concept of being Asian to his advantage. I mean, he has these sort of, he's not even, I think he's from like Boston or something. He's not from anywhere in Asia at all. But he uses the concept of people have an association with Asian men and style, like being, like dressing well. Mm-hmm. And so he uses this massively to his advantage. So he does, like, he has these different styles that make him almost undefinable. He'll have a giant blue mohawk and then he'll wear a suit, you know, with a giant blue mohawk. So he's got all these different sort of ways of using this to his advantage. For example, Albert, I'll just to kind of give you one of my major, hiccups that I had with my belief systems. When I was growing up, I grew up in a trailer park, and I wasn't, needless to say, I wasn't very popular. People didn't really dig trailer park kids. I don't think they'd dig them anywhere. I think the only famous trailer park kid besides, I mean, I'm marginally known, is Eminem. You know, he grew up in a trailer park, and, you know, it's not a very desirable thing. So when I was growing up, even until I got much, much older, I always thought that women, it was only a matter of time before they realized that they could date some rich dude, you know? And what I found out is that when women met me, I didn't have like a sign on my shirt that said trailer trash, you know? And I felt like I did, you know? And I felt like whenever people talked to me, even after I told them, I thought that they were going to judge me, but people just didn't. And so what I had to do is I had to realize that I was wrong about that first off. And there was something going on there that was sort of holding me back. So with you, your two concepts, one is that you're not in a frat, and one is that you're Asian. So the first thing I'd like to of course, because we obviously know that it's not just being Asian, because there are Asian men that are successful with women. It's something else. It's in your behavior, but you're not letting yourself become the attractive person you want to be because you believe that, you know, it's Asian. It's the Asian thing that's holding you back and not your personality. So you're not even letting yourself get to the next level with this. Because you can't, look, man, you're not going to be not Asian anymore. You're always going to be Asian, you know, and that's a good thing. You have that going for you. That's something you have good that's working for you. Don't try to change it. Don't be ashamed of it. The only thing that can happen if you try to change it is that you'll come across as insecure to women. And I'm willing to bet that 90% of your success with women is going to come on you owning your past, owning your history, owning where you came from, like really becoming a part of it, integrating with it, and like talking about it as if it's not a big deal. You know, right now, if someone came up and they identified you, like they identified me as a white guy or, you know, you as an Asian guy, you know, if someone does identify you with that, you have to assume that that's a good thing. Because if you don't assume that's a good thing, it's going to screw everything up that you do from then on out. Basically, everything at that point is going to be like, well, as long as she, you know, she'll hang out with me as long as there's no one else around, or as long as her friends aren't there, or as long as there's not another option. Like, for example, you know, a frat dude, you're saying. So, you have to honestly believe that you are the most attractive person in the room. And if people don't understand that and they don't get it, then that's their fault, right? Now, the reason why I say that is because you have two choices, really. You have a choice of believing that you're unattractive or a choice of believing that you are attractive. Believing that you're unattractive absolutely hurts your chances. Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. A super attractive guy who believes he's unattractive gets less ass than a guy who is super attractive and believes he is. Everyone knows this. It's kind of been proven over time. When Brad Pitt first moved to Hollywood, he couldn't get a date to save his life. Brad Pitt, you know, sexiest man in the world, like 8 years in a row. He just couldn't get a date. Why? Because he had no confidence whatsoever. He didn't think he was attractive, you know. And, you know, of course, women, you know, disagree with that now. But at the time, every woman agreed. They didn't think he was attractive. Why? Because he didn't think he was attractive. This is kind of the most amazing sort of loophole in attraction in general, is that if you just act as if you are attractive, then women will be more attracted to you. You know, and the truth is that you don't know, Albert, what an attractive guy looks like because you're not gay. You know, and that's just kind of how it is. I mean, I don't think you're gay. Maybe you are, but yeah, I'm joking. I'm pretty sure you're
not.
It'll go on record here. This is
the why would I be here?
Maybe you want to learn how to pick up dudes. I don't know. Anyway, obviously you're not. You're a straight guy, you know, and you just don't know what an attractive man looks like. You don't know what women look for in men. Now, we think we do as guys. We think we know, but we don't. We don't know. And so that's one of the biggest problems is we run into this, well, she wouldn't think I was attractive because I'm Asian. Dude, you have no idea what she thinks is attractive in the first place, you know? And that's okay for now. And you will learn more about that, obviously, but I would tell you right now that most of it is in whether or not you think you're attractive. If I had like 5 minutes to teach a guy how to be attractive with women, I would tell him, just act as if it's already working. Just act like women already like you. That's it. Just pretend like women already like you and everyone's attracted to you. Because immediately it will double their chances with women because they're not blowing themselves out. They're not rejecting themselves essentially when they walk up and talk to women. You know, it's really difficult, Albert. It isn't like you're the first and only guy who's ever had this problem before. I had this problem.
Yeah.
You know? And I have my own excuses for like, you know, you've got the, I'm Asian or I'm not a frat dude. You know, I even like built a pretty strong anger for frat dudes for a while when I was younger because I was like, they get all the women and it's not fair, you know? And I just like, I started judging them and I found myself being kind of a dick. And that wasn't really fair to them. There were a lot of really cool guys that I met that were in frat houses that were nice and really cool to me. But I didn't give them a chance or anything, so that wasn't really fair of me. And I ended up basically saying any woman, and I remember this exact moment the last time I thought this. I was working at a gas station in Tallahassee, Florida, and Florida State University is there. It was like the number one party school of the year whenever I lived there. It was the Girls Gone Wild school of the year too. So there's all these blonde, crazy girls there, you know. And it was, I was sitting at the gas station working, and this blonde girl walks by, hot blonde girl. And I look over, and my immediate thought, and I'm not kidding, was, she's probably dumb as a sack of bricks. Like, she's probably a fucking idiot. I'm judging this woman. And what I really thought was, what I really wanted to think was, damn, she's hot. But I couldn't even think that, because I knew that if I thought that, I'd have to admit that I wasn't going to talk to her and admit that I wasn't attractive as a guy. You know, and this is things that I really thought. Me, I really thought. So if I can get over this, then I'm, for fuck's sake, man, you can get over it for sure, for sure. Just, I would say that from now on, you're going to have to put that you used to think that women didn't like you because you're Asian. You're going to have to put that in the past. Absolutely. And then the other thing is that you used to think that women were more attracted to frat guys than they are to you, but that's just not the case. You know? So I would write both of them down. And over the next week, I would make a point of writing down anything else that you say, any shit talking you give yourself, anything that's mean or not, or just anything that's negative in general, not even mean, just negative. Even if you think it's true, if it's negative at all, just write it down and then make a point to put all those things in the past moving forward. And over the next week, I guarantee you over the next week, if you do this, if you really truly do it, Albert, you're going to see such an increase of attraction, women looking at you, you know, like watching you walk down the street, women having a positive response to you when you walk up to them, women engaging with you longer and talking to you longer, giving you their numbers or saying yes when you ask for their number. You know, you don't have to have everything down yet. You don't have to have all the techniques down yet, but you do have to have this down before you can move forward. So over the next week, before the next call with one of my coaches, I want you to write down anything, any kind of shit talking that you give yourself, including these two things, and I want you to put these in the past in normal conversation. Like if you're talking to someone and you realize you're about to say, oh, you know, I'm really bad at baseball, you know, whatever it is. You might say, I'm really bad at soccer, whatever. Then instead of saying that, just go, I used to think that I was really bad at soccer, but I should probably give it another try and see, you know? Or, I used to be really bad at soccer, but I've been working on it and I'm better than I used to be. You know, so you're better now than you ever have been in your entire life. The truth is you're more attractive today than you ever have been because you didn't have this knowledge yesterday, you know, and you didn't have the day before that either. And the day that I realized that women are attracted to what's in my brain and not what's written on my face or what I'm wearing, you know, or what I look like was a really great day because I thought I was a pretty ugly guy, you know. I got a receding hairline that reaches my back basically. You know, I feel like there's lots of things that are wrong with me. I'm really, really skinny. I just had so many stupid things. Like I said, grew up in a trailer park. All these things that I thought were going to hurt my chances. And they were hurting my chances because I was letting them. So I started doing this, and it was one by one. I just tackled one by one, and I started attracting much, much more attractive women. Does that make sense, Albert?
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense. That's another question. Like, I guess... It's sort of like I'm pretty aware of it. You know, I've been watching the hacking attraction videos, and I've also been watching, you know, some of your advanced prep, which is prep course things, and it's helped a lot. I'm actually learning a lot more about myself than I even know. And I wish there was an actual class on this stuff in school for crying out loud. Human classes.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's like the most obvious thing in the world. Why wouldn't they do this? It's important, you know. They have a history of Mongolian architecture. They should have this class. You know, come on, what the hell?
Another question that kind of arises that, you know, I guess, you know, I'm seeing progress. I can sort of see progress. You know, I know these beliefs have been hurting me. You know, they've always been hurting me. They've been dogging me. You know, I try not to let them. But I just got to keep working on these things. But I guess... You know, I track a bit more. I'm getting numbers. I'm getting more consistent. I'm getting better. I'm getting dates, but it seems like I'm just not keeping women around.
You mean in the past? In the past, you were having a hard time keeping women around.
Yeah, I just seem to have a hard time keeping women around, like sustaining an attraction. You know what I mean? Like sometimes it just gets too much. Right? I end up getting too many female friends. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, Albert, do you realize you're doing this right now as we're talking? You're saying you have a hard time keeping women around, and you're putting it in the present tense. Do you realize you're doing that?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, this is exactly how it's going to feel to you. This is you must do this a lot to yourself, a lot more than you think you do. So you're basically realizing that oh shit moment you just had is you reaching the next level here. So welcome to that. And also, keeping women around, I can tell you about this right now, briefly, and then I'm going to go on to the next caller here because I have a couple more calls and a couple more things to go over.
Yeah.
And we're already at an hour in, but I'm going to make this a little bit longer than normal because you guys are awesome. To keep women around, you have to understand the entire matrix. You have to see the matrix of the map of interaction. So essentially, if you walk up to a girl and you start talking to her and you start to see her body language and reacting to you in a certain way, and you don't know what that means, what stage you're in, you can't possibly push forward, right? And what a lot of guys do is they think that once they have gotten past attraction and they go into rapport, they never have to go back to attraction again with this woman. And that's not true. That's not the case. Every time you interact with her again, sometimes if she walks away for 2 minutes and comes back, she'll come back in attraction. It's like a washing machine. Like she leaves in rapport and she comes back in attraction, you know? And you're like, shit. But when you see it and you know it's there and you know what's happening, you know how to react. If she comes back in attraction and you try to go into rapport with her, guess what? She's going to split. And she always will. Because she'll look at you and she'll realize that you don't understand where she's coming from in that moment. So you have to do what's called seeing the matrix. You have to be able to look at a woman and tell what stage of the interaction you are in with her right then. And I'll tell you one easy way to do that, Albert, and this might sort of help you out a little bit. And also, if you're sort of having a lot of female friends, you're not pushing forward because I believe that's probably the Asian thing. Like that Asian belief that like, oh, you know, you're their Asian friend now. And not like, you know, their Asian boyfriend or their Asian hookup, or it doesn't matter. You can put Asian in front of anything awesome and it'll be cool still. You know, you can be their Asian hookup. Who cares? You know, or their Asian boyfriend. Who cares? But just being their Asian friend is crappy. You know, if you want to move forward with that, then from the very beginning, I'd say probably the most important. I just shot a video recently, Albert. If you haven't seen it yet, have you seen the How to Get Out of the Friend Zone video I shot, Albert?
I've not seen the How to Get Friend Zone yet.
Okay, so I think I can tell you the link.